This is CliffCentral.com.
She was hard for the money, so you better treat her right. She was hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She was hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Indeed, all action Monday morning, hard for the money, intro. Anthea, hi.
Good morning, Ben.
Sorry, jeepers.
We're a bit frazzled this morning, are we?
If you didn't know, I do sport. That's my thing. I'm pretty much very good at sport.
Yeah.
Anthea, what is happening in the markets?
Yeah, it's not that great, I'm afraid, Ben. The Euro Stoxx Index, which is the index of the European indices of all the European countries, was down on Friday for its 11th straight session. U.S. markets closed in negative territory for their 9th consecutive session. And I think it really is all about politics at the moment.
So
U.S., everyone's worried that Trump will become the next, or they were until last night, worried that Trump might become the next president. And then we've got this Brexit discussion which keeps carrying on. And then in Turkey, Erdogan, who's the prime minister, president, I never know which one they are.
I think they like to go with president.
Yeah, president.
But essentially dictator.
Yeah, okay.
Ruler.
The ruler of Turkey, Erdogan, he has arrested more opposition politicians in his post-coup attempt than in any other time in the history of Turkey.
Oh, wow. Does he just arrest them, or does he also have a Sean Abrams, who may basically throw things out there?
Sean Abrams. No, he just does it himself.
Okay. At least we've still got a middleman here.
But, I mean, what happens after he arrests them? I mean, I hope he doesn't Kim Jong-un them, because...
No, I don't think...
You know, there are so many dictators in the world, guys. It's a dangerous place.
It is indeed. But I don't think in Turkey they kill them. Okay. I think they let them rot in jail. Which is so much better.
The lesser of two evils, huh?
And we're saying this, but I see last night the FBI said that there was nothing untoward, or there was no criminal intent in Hillary Clinton's emails. So I think this is going to be a cue for markets to rally action. In fact, I see Asia's already trading much higher this morning. The Nikkei's up almost 2%, which is in Japan. So maybe this is a turnaround. You know, I hope so. I really do, because the markets really have been under a lot of pressure. And in fact, we haven't seen this many consecutive down days since 2008, since the GFC.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was so bad in 2008 that
the global financial crisis, right?
That's when you know.
That's when a lot of people are calling it that we had a depression, or recession.
See, politics is so depressing. There we go. There's confirmation.
Indeed. And they have a negative impact on the stock market. And then also on Friday, U.S. non-farm payrolls came in at 161,000, which means the U.S. created that many jobs for the month of October. Unemployment rate remained below 5% at 4.9%. I think the non-farm payrolls number was a bit disappointing. Economists were expecting 175,000. Although I don't think it's bad enough that the Fed won't raise interest rates in December. And the big discrepancy between kind of what we were expecting and where it actually came in was that in the retail sector, they shed 1,100 jobs, which is very unusual for this time of year, because we've got Black Friday and Cyber Monday coming up in 2.5 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all the big sales, the pre-Christmas sales that they kind of kick off the shopping season. And you would think that these retail stores and companies, because they're not just all stores, some of them for the cyber sales, would be manning up or staffing up, but apparently not.
I'm just going to say right now, on the back of everything that's happened in America this year, Black Friday is going to be murder, literally murder. There's going to be rioting. There is going to be all kinds of mayhem here.
There usually is stampeding.
There's normal stampeding already, but on the back of all of this election stuff and the disgruntled nation and all those other shootings, this is going to be a disaster.
By then, they'll know who their new president is, though, won't they? Does that not matter? Don't we care?
It matters. It matters quite a bit.
Okay. So far this year, the U.S. has created on average 181,000 jobs a month.
Wow.
It's quite incredible, but it's less than last year where they created 229,000 jobs per month on average.
Is that because all these people that Donald Trump don't want in the country are getting jobs?
I think it has been across kind of all these sectors, so hard to say. Let me think back. I have to think back, maybe do a bit of analysis on kind of which sectors improved the most. I would say housing probably not as much, but yeah, it's, I think kind of just across the board, it's been a good year for the US.
Mm. All right.
And then markets are also selling off a bit because oil has come off quite a bit. So we're now trading well below $50 a barrel. And this is because we've had huge inventory buildups and people are just not using oil and the production continues. And then Saudi and Iran again, fighting over whether or not to be cutting production, which I thought they had decided they were going to do, and now they're saying they're not. So, yeah, there doesn't seem to be a real catalyst other than this FBI story that Hillary Clinton's emails were not of criminal intent.
Yeah, crooked Hillary. I just want this to be over now.
You're bored of it, are you? And then, of course, the JSE tracked global markets lower on Friday. We tend to do that. I mean, we weren't as bad as we could have been because the rand was slightly weak on Friday, and that's actually more to do with the US dollar being slightly stronger. And so that's a nice little buffer. I mean, we did close just over 1% down. And then very few shares were actually up on Friday, but one of the shares in the top 40 index, which is the index of 42 biggest, of course it is, right? That's why we call it the top 40, because it's 42 biggest shares by market capitalization, is Richemont, because they reported on Friday a fairly shocking set of results. Sales down 13%, and excluding one-off charges, their EBIT margin was down 25%, and that's just shocking. Like, that's horrible. Like, you know.
Sorry, Anthony, what's an EBIT margin?
Earnings before interest and tax. So your earnings number. So revenues are all good and well, but if you take out the real number is to take the costs out and see how much profit you've made or
right, okay.
Earnings in this case. And then also their cash. The thing with Richemont is they always used to have a big pile of cash, which was kind of a margin of safety, if you like, and like a safety net.
Oh.
And that decreased by 700 million euros to 4.6 billion euros. Big numbers. But those are the kind of things that really you worry about. And we've seen a lot of kind of Chinese sales of luxury goods coming off. And so not a great number. So why the share was up 8% on Friday? Because I think investors are beginning to think that this is a turning point for the share and maybe, you know, it's done the worst it can. It was a share that traded about 117 Rand last year, came all the way down to 74 Rand, is now about 94 Rand a share after the bounce. So hopefully this is the turning point. And then Johan Rupert made a point on Friday of saying that he was abolishing the CEO role. And in fact, the CEO and the CFO, the chief financial officer, were both retiring next year. And Johan Rupert says he will be the traffic controller of egos and not a process manager. I think there's a clue in that. Like kind of what's been happening in the past if he's saying he's going to be controlling egos. So I look forward to seeing what he's going to get up to. I mean, he is a fairly astute businessman. They haven't done that many acquisitions of late, you know. I mean, probably their most recent was Yuke's and Net-a-Porter, like kind of the big ones and some of the big jewelry brands. So that they just aren't spending kind of this 5 billion rand of 5 billion euros, not even rands, that they're sitting on. So I'm keen to see what will happen next year.
It sounds like every big corporation needs that role, trafficker of major egos.
Yes, I'm inclined to agree with you. It's I'm reading a very interesting book at the moment. It's called... Snakes in Suits. It's about corporate egos. And somebody recommended it to me.
Sounds like a good read.
Well, you know, it's kind of about how people get egos or need their ego to get the top jobs in the corporation. But once they get in, they actually become dangerous because of these big egos.
Same could be said for our politicians.
Yeah, I don't know about... Nah, they just become corrupt.
Well, like they've also got
ego-driven.
I mean, Donald Trump, ego?
Hello? Oh. Well, he was never meant to be a politician, he? I mean, come on, he should just stay
he's a loophole.
That's what he is, yeah.
Yeah, and then this week, in fact today, I will be testing or doing hopefully the final testing on the four portfolios that we're going to launch.
Yes, this is what I was going to ask you about.
All right, so let's get the details now.
Big responsibility here. Hey? This is your moment to really shine like never before.
Yeah, okay. It's all the pressure, Ben. That's what I do every day, kind of like manage portfolios.
I know, but now it's personal. Now it's personal because we are going to be involved.
Oh, personal for you, not for me. Yes, always personal for me.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, right. Okay. And what would you like me to do? How am I going to
just make us a lot of money?
Just dazzle us,
okay. Make us a lot of money.
Okay. We actually seriously need to talk about this because one of the things that we decided a couple of weeks ago was that instead of launching one portfolio, we were going to launch four portfolios. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Is that I do feel that markets are a little bit uncertain. And I'm not sure where this is going to go. You know, when I saw that Trump could potentially be president, I really worried. So kind of sold out of a few of my stocks that were U.S. Sensitive. And with Brexit happening, I really did get a fright. So I didn't know. Nobody could have predicted it. And it did hurt my portfolio a little bit. So what we've done is, or what we're doing, is we're launching a conservative, a stable, and a growth, and an aggressive growth portfolio. The conservative portfolio is for older people and people who are saving for very short-term goals. So you don't want to leave the money in the bank because you'll earn, I don't know, what do you get in the bank these days, 5-6%?
Yeah, it's
something like that.
It's pathetic.
Right? So the conservative portfolio will give you a nice yield, but you can put away a lump sum or you can put away a little bit every month. So you've got a choice. You can do both if you want a lump sum and a debit order every month. And if you need the money, it'll be there. You kind of, it'll just grow a little bit every month, right? And if you need it in 6 months, it'll be the same amount. Whereas, as you know, from equities or shares, they're so volatile. So kind of, you know, some days they're up 10%, some days they're down 10%. And what you don't want is to be saving for 3 months and then realize that you're needing to withdraw the money when the market is actually down. Mm. Over the long term, shares generally do return much higher than cash or bonds or yielding instruments. So you do have a choice. So the conservative portfolio, as I said, for older people or for people who are saving for a short-term goal. The stable portfolio will have a bit of cash and a bit of bonds and a little bit more risk, slightly higher return. Also good for people who need a yield. So people who are retired, who have a lump sum of money and need to draw to live on this money every month. So that's a good one for them. It'll have a nice, consistent monthly return. The growth portfolio will be a mix of kind of stable yield bonds and cash. Well, it won't have any cash in it, but it'll have bonds, and then it'll have a nice portion of equities so that you will actually grow, but there will be that little bit of volatility, you know, kind of a good combination. It's for people who are a little bit more conservative and whose time horizon is probably between 2 to 4 years of investment.
Okay.
And then the aggressive growth is a pure share portfolio. The one thing I can promise you about this, it will be characterized by volatility. So if you don't have the stomach for it, then don't invest in this portfolio or learn to handle the volatility and don't look at it every single day. This is probably not for Gareth, right?
Because
he will watch it every single day and ask me why it's down 1.5%.
Yes.
But this is where you are likely to see the highest returns, but over a longer period.
Longer period being
so
what,
if you
10
have
years?
Yes. Okay. So I probably aim for 5 years, but if you are investing for more than, call it 3 years, then this is the port and you want to see some good returns. Mm. And this is not your kind of money that you're saving for a deposit for a house, or this is the money that's going to make you rich and make you retire comfortably. Put it in the aggressive growth portfolio and just forget about it. Yeah. Probably the best thing to do because of compounding, the effect of compounding, is to put a nice lump sum into it, take a small debit order every month, which you won't feel, which won't hurt you too much, 100 rand, 150, 200, 500, whatever, and just let that run and then come back to it in a couple of years. And I promise it'll be
a nice
good.
Surprise.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So all these things are very kind of age and financial position dependent. you know, the younger you are, the more aggressive you should be in your investment strategy. The worst thing to do is to get to 60, realize that you're not going to retire with enough money, and then try and catch up and put it in an aggressive growth portfolio. So do it when you're young. Please do it when you're young.
Yeah, Flex, I hope you're listening.
I agree with the start investing with you when you're young, but you still have to have money when you're young to invest that money. That's where the problem lies.
But Flax, we've particularly chosen this platform because you can do it for as little as 100 Rand.
No, that I can do. That
okay,
I can do.
Right. I'll send you a debit order form for 100 Rand a month.
Easy as that. Anthea, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks very much, guys.
Back on the Skype tomorrow?
Indeed. We'll speak to you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.